video games.
Welcome to Press X. I think it's the second proper edition. We did three little pilots.
Yes.
And the pilot died in the crash, and we had to, you know, search out the black box, see what happened.
That's
see what
racist.
Didn't happen.
I am not a box.
Yeah, of all the people to say that, of all the people to say that, the Asian guy in the corner was not the one I expected to say that. Yes, anyway, Press X, we're talking about games, video games. I'm Rob.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Lewis.
Hello.
And I'm
Hello.
Stuck now, so somebody else take stuck. Over. I've tagged out.
Sorry, I'm just trying to make this look as possible. I'll stop.
See, he does this to me all the time on Keyframe. Me and Lewis do Keyframe together, and he keeps making these jokes with his with a completely serious expression, and he gets me every single time. And he just
I don't know how to joke any other way.
He just realized the other day that I fall for it every single time he makes a joke.
A lot of people do, to be fair. It's not just you.
It's a natural gift.
I don't even know where to start with this. I've just been playing some weird JRPG stuff.
We're not going to start with that. That's like you clip.
See, I was about to say I've been playing some JRPG called Final Fantasy 14.
Although I did finish the Duskier recently.
Yeah.
I did give that a go. Played it first time, so, I thought, this is stupid. Yeah. I don't like this.
Have you changed your opinion?
Why have they all got anime hair and it's in this realistic world?
It's like some weird...
Final Fantasy.
Well, like it's more realistic than any Final Fantasy has been in a long time.
Ever?
Well, maybe like, graphically ever, speaking, yeah. Final Fantasy games are more... They're fairly down-to-earth these days.
Yeah,
15
yeah.
Is.
It's, well, it's, 15 is, but like, I'm not sure what Lightning was, and I'm definitely not sure what Van was in 12.
But they've been releasing some demos about it, haven't they? Like, there's a Dream One, which was... I don't know if it's controversial, was it? It wasn't liked
I
by a
really
lot of people.
I really like that. I think it's actually kind of giving me hope
that,
for
yeah.
games a bit.
Which one's that?
The Platinum demo of Final Fantasy 15, the Dream oh, One. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, 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 that's the one. How is that then? How is it giving you?
It feels more like a tech demo than anything else.
I think that's what the point of it was.
Yeah, but it's really like, oh, look at what we can do. Look at all these things that we have in one engine, and we're gonna do cool stuff with it. And I'm like, I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, I mean, I've completely gone cold for Final Fantasy. I can't lie. I think it was 12, the last one I played. Was that the one with the Gambit system? Which people hated, but I quite liked, because if you managed it in such a way, it made the game quite interesting.
I thought it was a unique game.
It was a unique game.
It had a very androgynous lead.
Just along the lines.
Like, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, basically the line targeting.
But of all the ways to reference like Final Fantasy 12, the lines.
Yeah.
If thank I remember, because I really didn't like it.
The problem I had with 12 was that, you know those, what was it, the Guardian Forces, the spirit things that you can... contract with, and you had to beat them in a fight, and then you could use them in fights. I ran into one of them. It's like the second, I think it was like the second or third toughest one in the game, and I was just you know, level 30, 40, something like that, and I had no reason to win. So I thought, okay, they're fighting automatically. I've got everything set up so they can just run into the fight and they can fight automatically. I went away and I just left it on. I thought, okay, when I come back, they'll have died. Game will have reset. You know, it'll be fine. I'll just pick her up from there. I go away. And I'm away for about 3 hours. And I come back, and I'm still fighting against this thing, and I'm actually winning. And I haven't touched the controller at all in 3 hours.
See, that's why I don't really like it, because it's like no real connection.
I mean, it's funny you say that, because like I brought up the, you know, this Final Fantasy 15. Well, you brought up Final Fantasy 14, but I brought up 15. I'm like, I'm really looking forward to it. But never got into any of the Final Fantasy games. In fact, I used to sort of avoid JRPGs because of Final Fantasy VII, because someone got me to play it, and I was like,
it was average. I mean, I really liked 8. I will agree at that much, but so, otherwise it's just kind of
good. But the reason why I didn't get into it is because I was presented with a battle, and that was the sort of feeling I got. I'm like, I don't feel connected to this in any way.
Yeah.
And it might have just been my perspective at the time, but
I think one of the problems with JRPGs in general, I mean, especially with Final Fantasy, there's so many people who harp on about how great Final Fantasy VII was. No, it wasn't. Get a bloody grip. Seriously. The Materia system sucked balls.
Oh, he's being nerd now.
I'm serious. The Materia system, right, we're all fairly intelligent men around this table, right?
I don't know.
You asked for that.
Yeah.
Andy's delayed reaction is sticking his arms out like some football hooligan. Yes,
yeah. It's audio. You can't hear your arms.
That's why I was describing
it. Do you
it.
Even podcast?
Anyway, The we're all fairly intelligent blocks around this table, but Square released the Materia system, and some people got it if you had twisty enough logic, and everybody else kind of went, what? And then they did the GF system, which was in Final Fantasy VIII, which was much simpler and much more effective, which is why more people liked Final Fantasy VIII than Final Fantasy VII. Get a grip, all you Final Fantasy VII fanboys.
You always remember your first.
Because it was the first 3D one, wasn't it?
Yeah, always remember
your hooves for hands.
You always remember your first, Rob. It occupies a special place in your memory, your first. You never forget where
or
when or
what time. My first Final Fantasy game was Final Fantasy IV.
And a lot of people's first was VII.
Well,
I'm not defending VII. I think it's an incredibly average game. I'm just saying.
I like how everyone just ignored your joke.
Yeah,
sorry, it was funny. No one responds.
The thing is, we saw the joke. He telegraphed it, so we saw it was clearly signposted. Do not step here.
And you all did. But anyway, yeah, I think that's enough on Final Fantasy VII.
Seriously, six is the best.
We'll segue into another.
I just wanted to sort of wrap it up with Final Fantasy XV, though. I think for the fans, they should probably approach it from a very gameplay-like perspective, see what it has to offer as a game.
They actually are. I think that's why they've really been doing these tests and little demos.
The trailer.
Well, they've been taking on board what people have been saying about episode. I mean, when Episode Disque first came out, all the feedback they got, and then they did Episode Disque 2.0, and they'd made a lot of changes to it.
Some of them
quite subtle, and some of them not so subtle. But
oh my word, the summons!
Yes.
Oh my word! Oh,
yes.
Destroy the whole world with an electric man.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's because they want to make it more open towards a Western audience.
Yeah.
I don't think they have really. I just think they've fine-tuned it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not about East or West, it's just about fine-tuning the experience.
Yeah, I just think it's a pretty unique game, and it's very explorative, and it encourages you to just sort of fumble around the environment and feel what's going on, kind of what a game should be.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I feel like they've taken a lot of the kind of, not so much the story influence, but a lot of the kind of explorative influence from Final Fantasy XIV, because if you remember, it had like the quickest turnaround of the reboot of an MMO.
I never played it, but it does feel a little sort of MMO-ish in its openness.
No, it's an MMO. It's totally an MMO. It's 14.
It's a fun game.
I'm in 15. 15. Like, sorry, in terms of how you're comparing them.
Yeah. But the thing is, with 14, the first time they released 14, it sucked. You know, even Square admitted it sucked. And so they got like a couple of the old boys who worked on the previous Final Fantasy games back. They got them involved, said, here you go, turn it around for us. So they basically started from a blank canvas again, rebuilt the entire game engine, redid all the graphics, rebuilt the entire world, said, okay, this cataclysm happened, Bahamut came out, destroyed everything. 5 years later, here you go, here's a new game. Better battle system. Better storyline, better single-player campaign, better raids, better everything. Everything is so much better. And it's been kicking so much backside in the MMO market.
Yeah, I think WoW lost a lot of subscribers
to Final Fantasy XIV.
It has been. Year on year. World of Warcraft's been hemorrhaging subscribers.
And now I think about it, don't hear people talking about WoW anymore.
MMO of the year or something.
Yeah, that's just biased. I tried playing Elder Scrolls Online and I didn't like it.
I love it. It's absolutely what you'd expect.
I'd like to give it a try at some point.
It's free.
Segueing off that to something else, RPG shit, I guess. Dark Souls 3. Dark Souls 3 is now out in the world and in the hands of the incredibly annoying fans.
I don't know how many people this will ruin Dark Souls for, but I very recently realised that Dark Souls is Legend of Zelda hardcore mode.
Hopefully a lot of them.
No, none of them have. Seriously.
No, I mean, hopefully it ruins it for a lot of them.
Oh, that's right, okay.
There's got a lot in common with those games.
I don't think they have, because a lot of the people who like Dark Souls that I know are also diehard Nintendo fanboys.
That's a very sort of stark contrast in terms of like game style, at least in game. Nintendo games are very bright and colourful for the most part, and Dark Souls, like especially Bloodborne, Jesus Christ, Bloodborne.
It's got black. It's got incredibly dark brown. It's got grey.
Bloodborne looks pretty nice. It's got some horrific monsters in that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's all that really, really, really twisted Mario fan fiction they've been reading.
There's just...
where he, turns into, a massive demon lord and, just starts... eating everything in the Mushroom Kingdom, so yeah, tearing it to pieces.
So, like, they were marathoning YouTube videos about Mario, and then suddenly it segued into Legend of the Overfiend.
Yeah, basically.
He had really weird dreams, and Dark Souls is the result.
Yeah, basically.
But yeah, Dark Souls 3, it comes after Bloodborne, and I only played a little bit of Bloodborne. I wasn't particularly enamoured with it. I don't know. It just didn't sit with me, gameplay-wise, you know what I mean?
From what I've seen, Bloodborne looks a lot easier.
Well,
it has a nice hat.
It's more stamina-based, so you can't block at all. Mm. It's all about countering with your weapon, and it's all about dodging and maneuvering about. While Dark Souls has always been shield, blocking, and then rolling it as well.
I mean, I played Demon's Souls.
So you got more defensive options, so I guess you can die quicker.
I never played Dark Souls 1 or 2, to be fair. So I don't know how to compare to that, but Demon's Souls, I had to import that. I think that was actually the only game I've ever imported.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because there was a lot of fuss around it back then. It wasn't like, it was very new, and it was something different, and it didn't stage itself in the way that this Dark Souls did. I mean, I don't remember any bosses of note in Demon's Souls, and I played it for quite a long time. But fast forward to Dark Souls 3, and 5 minutes in, there's a boss.
Yeah.
5 minutes in, there's two bosses, basically. I think they've learned a lot from Demon's Souls. Not Demon's Souls, they've learned a lot from Bloodborne. I don't know, like I said, I never played the first two, but the character movement was much more stodgy, slower. You had like a big shield, you blocked, and then you struck with your sword or your...
And you can actually choose classes as well. That's a thing you can't do in Bloodborne.
Yeah, it's basically weapons.
Weapons and some stats, yeah.
Yeah, but in Dark Souls 3, you have like a selection of stats as like Thief, who has like really small swords, and Knight, which apparently is the one to start with if you're a noob. A noob, like I am.
Yeah, you get good armor.
Yeah, and there's magic people. There's non-magic people, and there's a guy with no clothes on.
Oh, the deprived are the best. They're like the most hardcore character you can start with.
The deprived.
Yeah, he's like literally a guy in his underpants
with a club.
Just to like get everything from the start or something, or
isn't that more like the depraved?
No, deprived.
No, it's deprived.
He doesn't have things.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything.
It's not some.
It's like, do you want to make this game harder for yourself? Go for it.
It's not their social commentary. It's not the me. The other Miyazaki's commentary. Because he has returned after... Because he was away for Dark Souls 2, wasn't he?
I really didn't like Dark Souls
2. That was supposed to be like the worst one of the bunch.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
The thing is, though, it's like from like Demon's Souls all the way to like Dark Souls 3, every single game, you either like it or you don't from the changes that they've made.
It's just a specific style. But yeah, the Ashen One, there's a lot of references to you being the Ashen One. You know, I think that was... I don't know if that's a thing in the other Dark Souls, but...
There's reoccurring lore, but I feel like every game, it's set in the same universe and there's story, but they always feel very different.
But this one, it seems to have taken a lot from Bloodborne and the fact that your character moves a lot more nimbly.
Yeah, definitely.
The dodge mechanic, was there a dodge mechanic in the old Dark Souls?
The rolls, yeah.
And was it effective though?
It depended on how you built your character, really.
Ah, okay.
Because it still applies, like if you were a really tanky, heavily armoured guy, you know, the roll basically just wouldn't work. You just have to rely on just blocking.
Yeah, but it plays a lot looser, a lot freer. The character movement is nicer, I suppose. But again, I don't know why people like it, really, because having a boss 5 minutes into a game, you don't do it.
It's as difficult as people make it out to be.
Yeah. It's not there's difficult and there's difficult. I mean, there's Dark Souls difficult and there's just generally is that the right word?
What?
Escalates into difficult.
Escalates in difficulty.
It's a difficulty curve. That's probably the best way of putting it. But games that are difficult have a difficulty curve and they become difficult rather than starting difficult. Whereas in this case, you have like your three bars. You have the energy bar, you have the magic bar, you have the stamina bar. And the problem with this game is it has a stamina bar. That is what makes Dark Souls difficult. Mm. Say what you want, say what you don't want. The stamina bar is what every little bit of difficulty goes through. Because I can't say for the other ones.
Because I feel like with Dark Souls 1, like from what little I played...
they've always had stamina bars.
Yeah, I guess that was an element in Dark Souls 1, but I feel like I guess it depends on your class as well, but how squishy your character was sort of health-wise was a big factor.
Yeah,
I think different games are very difficult for different reasons.
But playing it as the knight, and I can only comment on the class that I played, but Enters the Knight, the difficulty comes from the stamina bar, because you have like a shield in one arm, sword in the other, and as it starts, you know, you'd expect to not hand-holding so much, but say this is the game, because you got to consider one thing. It's like podcasts. It's like any sort of media form. You got to bring the consideration that this might be somebody's first.
Yeah, definitely.
And they have to know or be comfortable in the game to grow and experience it and go through it, you know, as these sort of games like RPGs demand like tens of, maybe even hundreds of hours to truly explore every last little, you know, corner. But yeah, you have the knight, you have your sword in one arm, your shield in the other, and the first area, it's like normal guys, you one slash kills, basically. Use your armor a little bit, kill them, you know, that sort of thing. But then it throws in two bosses. One's like a rolling guy with loads of blue armor, and he breathes
really
ice.
They're just sort of...
It's a mini boss.
Yeah, it's sort of mini bosses, yeah.
Because the boss has music. This guy doesn't.
Yeah, they're just mini bosses that you often get special equipment from.
Yeah, yeah. But the first boss is literally like 5 minutes into the game. Literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a problem, I think, with Bloodborne. The fact that, you know, you got the first boss, you know, not straight away, and you slowly like ease your way into the game, and you're like, oh, get into grips with it. And it's like, oh, this is really good. And then it gets to the second boss, which is absurdly hard.
Is that the Gascoigne fella?
Yeah. Absurdly hard, and that is literally...
did you narrate him with a Geordie accent, and a drunk Geordie accent, because he's Paul Gascoigne?
Yes. I did.
And did you say slanderous things on podcast that you really shouldn't?
I said slanderous things to him while I was fighting him.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it took me so many tries, but they put that in as a way to say, oh, you thought you were good at this game? No, I think, again, like, this is a true test if you honestly want to keep playing.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know whether it's like this in other Souls games or Bloodborne games, but the first boss is, he's just a normal guy. He's a big dude. He's like a big knight, which looks like my character, the knight character, but he's got like a really long sword and he can do massive leaps.
Yeah, you can like predict his patterns.
Oh yeah,
so,
he's fairly predictable. And then you get like two thirds. He's got like two thirds of You knock two thirds of his life bar off, and then suddenly he becomes Akira.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that's the only.
Yeah, that's like a part of the story for this one, that some characters just randomly turn into Akira.
It's like,
do you mean Akira or do you mean Tetsuo?
You know, at the end of Akira.
Yeah, that's Tetsuo.
I'm not using anime references. Jesus, Rob.
Weaves.
I'm just correcting you because Akira...
I know it's Tetsuo. It's just
started with the whole weave thing.
If I use a particular reference, it's not going to make any sense. But if I say Akira, people know the movie Akira, so looking... You know, I'm not explaining references on a podcast. What is this?
We could use more obscure references, to be fair.
Yeah. But yeah, he turns into that. And
it's like Joey Macaroni.
And it becomes really awkward to predict sort of the patterns of these things. And I think that is also, you know, you get hit once with the sword, with a weapon of some sort, you're fine. You get hit twice, you have no stamina. And so it's like one hit kill after that. That is why it's difficult. Not because of anything else.
If you get a free hit count or whatever they have until you're dead, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's quite reasonable, isn't it?
No, it's not.
If you get hit three times, you deserve to not carry on with the game.
You maybe could have played more of an assassin, which has more stamina and much like faster paced, but you would probably die a lot faster if you got hit.
Maybe, but
it's all about risk and reward.
When I played Demon Souls, it had people with like projectile things, not like magic, but with bows and arrows.
Yeah.
And this lacks that from the off.
There are options where you can get those, but they've never really been...
Yeah.
A part of the meta. That's never been a thing where, oh, I'm going to be an archer. That's never really been a thing.
When I play like Skyrim or whatever, I'm always the archer because I like being the sneaky.
Oh, the archers in Skyrim are really overpowered.
Yeah, because I like being sneaky and just killing everybody from a distance.
No, you can't do it in this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just gameplay style, but you get past that first boss and then it's like the game starts. It's like, yeah, that was all the prologue. Ignore that, and it opens up a lot more. You get like the first, I don't know what you call it, it's the first place where you can cash in your souls.
Oh, yeah, your hub base.
Your hub base, yeah. I mean, it was more obvious hub in Bloodborne, I'll be honest. This one,
yeah,
it's just places.
Yeah, there's always been like that, the Souls games. It's just a hub.
Yeah, yeah. It's from that, it opens up and there's more of a proper game, and it has this habit of throwing in mini bosses and you're not expecting it at the worst possible opportunity.
Yeah, I
was. The first one was.
Bloodborne was the worst, right?
There was this sort of salamander thing.
Yeah.
With ice all over it.
Yeah.
And you go a bit past that, and there's just this brown dude. He looks like he hasn't had a wash in a while.
Yeah.
And he's got like a samurai sword, like a scabbard, like sort of Arabian.
Sephiroth sword.
No, it's basically like the Arabian curved blade.
Scimitar.
Yeah. One of those, and he's like paddling the actual boss. But yeah, it does this thing. It's really inconsistent. I mean, it gets better after the 10-hour mark, and to say that about any RPG is just the most bogus nonsense, because you've got to get to that 10-hour mark to realise that it's actually a good game, and until that point you're like, why am I playing this?
Bloodborne was exactly the same.
Why don't you make your game good from the start rather than saying, right, 10 hours, if you don't play it for 10 hours, you're not worth it.
So it's something you'd continue playing, do you think?
Yeah, yeah. It really tests whether you should be bothered playing it. That sort of philosophy. I mean, there was an RPG on the Wii U.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called.
Xenoblade.
Yeah. Apparently, yeah. It only becomes good when you get the mechs, and the mechs are like 30 hours into the game.
Yep.
So why would you bother playing that first?
I thought it was supposed to be an all-round decent game, but...
I quite liked it.
It was supposed to become really good when the mechs were available. But yeah, why? Well, why do RPG designers do this?
I disagree with that whole sentiment that it becomes good when the mechs.
And that's just one perspective. But there's a lot of games where it only becomes it truly comes alive at a certain hour mark.
Let's put it this way, right? The whole in Xenoblade Chronicles, the whole addition of the mechs thing, right? It's if you look at it in standard RPG terms, it's basically you start off on foot. You then maybe get a horse or a chocobo, depending on what kind of game you're playing. Then maybe you'll get a car or, you know, a boat or something like that. Then maybe you'll get an airship. It's basically just that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just that. And I don't understand why everybody suddenly goes... It's like one of those other games where you get the airship and everyone's suddenly going, oh, yeah, the game's come alive now. I can explore the world. Yeah.
I guess it just, like, removes some of the tedium from travelling in certain games.
Yeah.
And I think maybe,
that's literally all it did.
It's much more of a problem in Dark Souls 3, though.
Yeah.
Because it's a slog. Every minute is a slog. And then you hit the 10-hour mark, it's like, oh, this is actually really good.
I know we've been talking about RPGs for ages, but I want to quickly slot this one in because we're talking about like gameplay and battle stuff. Am I the only person in the world who really, really likes the Tales games? I think apart from like Final Fantasy 15, like I feel like everything sort of up to that point, it could go toe to toe with Final Fantasy easily.
I'm a big fan of the Tales games.
I'll be honest, never played one.
I'm a big fan.
I really think
Tales
I should, because there was a period in my life when I'd say the age of 16 to about 21, 22, where all I played was JRPGs.
I said, like there was a point where I just didn't like JRPGs at all, but it was a Tales game that got me into them. Like I was like, I saw it, I'm like, no, that's a JRPG.
It was Symphonia.
And then I played it. I'm like, oh, this is actually really fun.
Symphonia got a lot of people into the Tales games.
I might try the PS4 one. What's that one called?
Zestiria.
Yeah, I might give that a go.
See, I quite liked Zestiria. It got some bad rep from some of the more hardcore Tales
fans. I liked it,
but
there was a lot wrong with it.
That's the same. That's a lot of bad.
As far as like Tales games go and games in general, it's quite awkwardly paced.
I think it's
can be a massive slog. Yeah, no, yeah, as far as JRPGs go.
Or even for JRPGs, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that.
I dealt with it. I liked the game overall.
Yeah.
Because it offered a lot of other stuff that I thought
Zestiria
was just end this dungeon already.
Yeah, I thought... the thing is, I've played games where the dungeons have literally gone on forever.
Diablo?
Yeah.
Well, if you're comparing it to a literal infinite dungeon, then...
No. Diablo 3. Some of the dungeons in Diablo 3. My God.
I
3 days later, I'm still in the same dungeon, trying to get to the end.
Yeah. Right?
And there was no dungeon in Zestiria that lasted that long.
Yeah, they're not like ridiculous, except for like the DLC. It's basically like one super long dungeon.
Yeah.
And that was particularly bad. But like, yeah, it can get a bit like, the dungeons can be a bit badly paced sometimes. But apart from that, like, the battle system is what makes them, but I think it's got good story, good character interaction. I think Zestiria had a good story. A lot of people say the story is bad. It just had a basic plot.
Just to jump back to Dark Souls 3, I honestly don't understand the appeal. That's what I'm going to finish my little bit on. I just don't understand the appeal. I mean, I understand that people like hard games, but this is hard because it limits so much from actually being accessible. And, you know, peeling away like your character's abilities to do stuff doesn't make it better, doesn't make it more nuanced or anything. It just makes you have to work harder at the game, and sometimes, you know, you want to...
Sometimes all that can be is just, like most RPGs, just doing a bit of grinding.
Yeah, but you can't really grind on that well. Because anything can kill you at any second, whereas if you grind on like a traditional RPG, you can go to that dungeon you just finished and spend like half an hour in there, and you'll get like a good bit of XP, and you'll be fine.
Half an hour?
Well, I don't know.
To be honest, like if you put, I don't know, however many hours into the game and then go back to those earlier locations, yes, you could still die, but you realise like the sudden power spike, and I feel like that's the problem. It's just the pacing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened with Bloodborne.
The thing about this one, though, I think this is a lot of people are protesting about any further Dark Souls. This, I think, might be the last one.
Apparently it is, and I think it's probably a high note for it to go out on from what I've seen.
There was King's Souls before Demon's Souls, then there was Demon's Souls, and then there's Dark Souls.
Well, Bloodborne 2 is most likely going to be a thing.
Yeah.
More than likely. Yeah.
Just go to
King something, Gareth.
It was King's Souls or something.
It was King something.
It was before Demon's Souls.
It was before Demon's Souls.
It was something there. I think that was PS2 that was on.
It might have been.
I can't remember. I can picture it in my head, but I can't remember the name of it.
It's going back too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too long.
I'm still annoyed because I still haven't had a chance to play this on PC because it is apparently got a lot of bugs on certain people's computers.
It looks
not optimized for a lot of hardware.
It does look very nice, though.
Yes.
Kingsfield,
that's the one. And it was King something.
It was really a series of games.
Yeah.
It was a whole series
of games. That's From Software.
Yeah, it was on the PlayStation, PlayStation 2 and the PSP.
Hello. Do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week and do it reasonably well.
I think jumping over to the other side of RPGs, though, because we've got like the super severe. The super, you know.
This one kind of is the super severe, but only because Metalia is a bit of a sadist.
Yeah, I've played this as well. Witcher in the 100 Night. I played it when it was released on PS3.
To be honest, there's not that much difference.
And
between
why it's been released on PS4, I don't quite follow. I mean, I know there's not a great deal of RPGs on the PS4. I mean, there's a nice little collection.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Star Ocean coming up soon, and I'm really excited for that.
Right. Okay.
This is an anime styled RPG. I mean, I played it when it was on PS3.
Yes, and this is the revival edition on the PS4 with shinier graphics. They've really improved the graphics since the PS3
version.
Didn't
really need it, though.
They basically tweaked all the graphics and made it look better. And I don't really understand why, because even though it looks...
It didn't sell that well.
It didn't sell that well, but the other... number one, I don't understand why you have a revival edition on the PS4 when the PS3 game didn't sell that well. And then you basically put the money into...
Making anything these days.
Making the graphics better, but the graphics... When you look
at the graphics, were the least of the problems in the game.
The graphics were the least of the problems of the game. I think the biggest problem with the game is just... It's too complex.
Well, I think
there's too much to get into.
Before you get to that, I think this is just a sad indictment of
this game. I've seen someone play it, but I don't really know about it.
Yeah, it's a sad indictment of why the PlayStation 4 is going. I mean, fair enough, release some HD editions, release some updates, but only games which really warrant it. I mean, like the Shenmue is going to be coming out, what, at the back end of next year, maybe? When that comes out, release Shenmue, yeah. Uncharted 4, a lot of people haven't played the original because a lot of people are coming over from the Xbox. Fair enough, release an Uncharted collection.
Sense.
Dishonored, fair enough, bits like this to recap people.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're just plucking completely random things out of nowhere.
It's like you've got like sleeping dogs.
Why? Who was that for?
It almost feels like...
All the anime RPGs, I wouldn't have picked Witcher in the 100 Night, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but
it exists and it's fine.
It exists and it's fine. And yeah, it's not the one I would have picked as well. But who can actually understand what goes through the minds of NIS America?
Snip
on Itchy Software.
Yeah.
And you've seen some of the other titles they've put out.
They should have just reissued the Disgaea trilogy box set on the PS4.
They might.
Polished it up a bit.
They might. We don't know. You can always put in a request. But they haven't. And what they have put out is a reboot, revival edition type thing is The Witch in the 100 Nights.
Yeah, the story is weird.
Basically Metalia the Witch is living in the swamp and she basically has this guy called the 100 Night. He's basically her brawn. She's more like a mob boss than anything else.
Well,
she wants to take over the rest of the world. So you have to go out and be her skivvy and kill all the enemies and basically expand the influence of the swamp.
you play as the bad guy.
You basically play as the bad guy.
The game starts, you're in complete dark.
Yeah.
And you awaken, this thing awakens. I mean, you call it the Hundred Knight, but the Hundred Knight isn't the person, isn't the thing. It's just like an empty, it's like a puppet with a soul put into it.
Yeah.
Because you're like this little cute thing. It is cute. Mm. If I remember correctly, it is cute.
Yeah.
But it starts off like a little sword or something like a sword, I can't remember. And the more you complete the game, the more sort of appendages you can add to it and the more badass it can look, but still cute at the same time. And you're taking over other territories.
See, that's one of the things that keeps the game interesting is you want to see how you end up like as the Hundred Knight. Yeah. Because you are playing the role of the Hundred Knight. But Metalia is, you know, when you play the bad guys in certain games like Overlord and games like that.
Well, they look like a bad guy.
Well, it's not so much. That's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say was they try and add some comedy to it. They try and make it funny. They try and make it humorous.
It's anime comedy, and that's.
This isn't anime comedy. No, Metalia is literally. Metalia is a bitch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She's a complete dyed in the wool bitch.
We're just going all out with the swears today.
Well, I'm saying she's a female dog. It's fine. But no, she really is. Literally, the verbal abuse that you'll get as a character from your boss, Metalia, it's kind of ridiculous at times.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
you know, and
it kind of plays a bit like Okami.
It plays a bit like Okami, but it also plays a lot like Diablo.
No, I mean, the Okami comparison is, because in Okami, you were, the beautiful graphics aside, you were this character who went through a zone, and when you got to the end of the zone, you attacked a thing or did a circle on the tree, and the tree would flourish and take the whole area.
Yeah.
It's basically the same here. You take that item, that tree, and you control that area. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a mini-boss, isn't it?
That's basically where the similarity with Okami ends. I mean, the actual gameplay, the actual combat is more like Diablo. It's isometric, and you basically run around fighting all sorts of stuff, and you basically try and create your combos and get your bonuses going so you can basically take out the end-level boss or mid-boss or whatever he is. And it's fine, but it's everything outside of that. It just, there's so much to learn and so much to, you know, get to grips with, and that is the side.
It just dumps a load on you, doesn't it, at the beginning?
There's some tutorials that are a godsend. Believe me, they are a godsend because they will help a little bit.
I completely ignored it and just went, right, I'm just doing this. I'm powering through this. I didn't have a clue what I was doing.
Yeah. And that's basically the wrong way to play this game.
It's the man way. You know, I don't read no instruction manual. I just build it.
I wouldn't say that was the man way.
Get those these days.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that was the man way. That's more the Homo erectus way.
The 70s man way.
No. The primitive man way.
Exactly. 70s man.
Yeah, the tutorials help, and okay, the other thing that is a big problem that I really don't like these sorts of games where you play the game and they have little bits of gameplay, right? But then they have massive text dumps. That's basically you sit there and you read for 20 minutes and then you go out and you fight another.
Hey, it's chirpy.
Shine them if they're good. In fact, I like that if they're good.
It's chirpy.
It's all right, like if you're using something like Yakuza, an example, because it's cinematic.
Yeah.
It is and it isn't.
Yeah, but this is just a text dump for the sake of it.
It's basically, there's a lot of dialogue, and the dialogue actually can be quite good when you're not being abused by Metalia, but she basically...
But about that aspect, though, it does hint at her having a hard past, that she's just dishing this out on you because somebody dished it out on her.
Well, there are the overtones of that, and, you know, that does slowly come to the fore more as you play the game. And so that is kind of a justification. It does make you warm up to the character of Metalia a little bit, but at the end of the day, you're still the long-suffering henchman.
But you're not even a character.
Yeah.
You don't have a voice. You just sort of squeak.
You don't have a voice, but you do, because you are the character. That's why the character squeaks, because you're the one who's going out and fighting all this stuff. And all of the dialogue, all of the abuse that Metalia hurls isn't aimed at this cute little character. It's aimed at you. On the other side, as much as you are getting all of this dialogue, this kind of abusive dialogue aimed at you, initially it starts off as you're basically kind of going, yeah, they're doing this in the game kind of thing, but it starts grating on your nerves after a little bit.
Yeah, like, half an hour in and you're kind of sick of her.
See, the thing is, if I was able to respond in any way, I would have.
That would be a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be like this blank, empty
Exactly.
It's like a Sackboy, but just if Sackboy was in a world with somebody who was really passive-aggressive.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I really wanted to just kind of reach into the screen and just give her a good old clip round the back of the head.
Because she
grow up.
It has that lolly thing. Yeah. She's a cute kid.
Yeah, but she behaves like a kid.
She's horrible at the same time.
She behaves like a kid. She behaves like my niece when my niece doesn't get her way.
Like,
God,
really,
it sounds like Hyoko from Danganronpa.
Really long green hair, was it, if I remember?
Well, it can be blonde or black or green.
It's been a while. It's been like, this was released like 2013?
Yeah.
Initially?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those odd ones where you get a lot of the anime-style characters and, you know, obviously with the female characters, they try and, being an NIS America game, they try and do the titillation using the fan service method.
Did they really? I can't remember
that. Some of the costumes, yeah.
I can't remember.
Some of the female characters, when you have the dialogue going, some of the costumes look like they're being held on by tape. Because there's literally no straps to hold up the upper part. It's like the upper part has its own gravitational field.
And I think the Senran Kagura is kind of just recorded over all of that, so I can't remember anything.
It's completely desensitized you to everything.
The image. Why do the ninjas' claws explode off? I don't understand this.
See, I can understand when you're playing a game, right? I can understand when you're in a fight, right, and somebody basically takes a swing at you with a proper sword and it cuts your clothes and possibly your arm and that as well, yeah? I can understand that, so you basically, it's cut across your clothes, so your clothes are damaged. What I don't understand is when somebody takes a swing at you with a wooden sword, it somehow destroys your clothes but leaves you completely intact.
Why are you questioning it? It's like, obviously it doesn't make sense.
But anyway,
Soul Calibur does it as well. It's like, well, the swords don't, like, you can only knock each other out with the swords.
Yeah, that's,
but hey, your clothes
totally
will still
weird.
But that's the thing about,
I have a massive sword with an eyeball. I'm going to stick it into you. I'm going to flip you over my
You've
head
ruined
out
Andy
of the
with
ring.
You've ruined Andy with that. But the thing is, with Senran Kagura, like, it has a point. No. I mean, we don't like it particularly, but Senran Kagura has a point, it has an audience, and that audience pick up on that point, and the pervy as they are, you know, it works. But with Witch in 100 Night,
it has an audience. That's,
I know, but it's just one of many. There's lots of games like this.
Well, actually, there aren't.
Are there not?
No, there aren't. See, the problem with
just
the Witch
very familiar then.
No, the problem with Witch in the 100 Night is that a lot of people look at the anime style graphics and the dialogue options and stuff like that, and they automatically think that it's a very familiar game, but it isn't. Witch in the 100 Night is actually very, very different as an RPG to a lot of the other JRPGs that you'll probably play. I mean, number one, it plays more like Diablo than any other game.
To be honest, with the structure, that's though, you think odd. It'd be more of a roguelike?
Well, this is the thing. You would think that, but it's very, very odd for an anime-based RPG to play like Diablo.
Yeah, yeah, it is, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's because with Diablo, Reaper of Souls had like a massive success on consoles, so that's maybe why they're bringing
which
it
in
over.
The hunt, yeah, possibly, yeah. It's one of those games where if you're going to play it, seriously,
you probably already have.
If you're going to play it, you probably already have. And if you are,
I'd agree with that, because I've seen the game and thought, oh, it looks interesting, but that's mostly just because I like the art style. But
I think a lot of people are going to get bogged down with the dialogue and with all of the menu options, everything like that. I haven't seen the only other time I've seen that many menu options were in Pro Evolution Soccer and Armored Core 5.
Well, okay, then.
He's not exaggerating at all.
Armored Core 5 is literally, there's menus that have menus that have sub-menus that have menus that have sub-menus that have even more sub-menus.
Which has
and then
tiki
finally,
boxes.
Yeah, that have tiki boxes. And then finally, you might actually get the part you want to put on your mech.
Yeah. Moving on from that completely and moving away from the RPGs.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we need to.
Weirdly enough, Witch in the 108 is still kind of fun, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I don't particularly find it memorable.
I think you have to have a bit of a masochistic streak to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it came in the office and thought, oh, yeah, that exists. That was it, basically.
Anyway.
But, yeah, final one. Another one of the trends happening recently is episodic gaming.
Oh, yeah.
That has become...
We moved away from RPGs, finally.
Very, very popular.
First game that comes to mind in terms of like timeline is Sonic 4.
I can't
Sonic remember. 4?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, because the first game was in episode 1, wasn't it? And then they released episode 2, but I just didn't care.
See, I would have gone with like The Walking Dead as an episodic game.
Yeah, but that came out a while after, I think.
Telltale were doing that sort of thing. They've always been doing that sort of thing, as far as I recall.
Oh, yeah, because they did Back to the Future before that, didn't they?
Yeah, and Sam and Max.
Wallace and Gromit.
Jurassic Park. I think it was Telltale. Wallace and Gromit, wasn't it?
I don't know.
There was a Wallace and Gromit game. Why was I not told?
Was it my Sonic Wallace and Gromit game?
Yeah, I recall
might not have been Telltale, but...
Are you on about Curse of the Were-Rabbit?
No.
But anyway, I digress. It's become very popular. It has become very, very popular.
I demand this Wallace and Gromit game.
It's become very popular. The new hot topic, really. I mean, like, there's Final Fantasy VII, the new one, is going to be one. That's caused a lot of...
But why? The game's already in a complete state.
Hitman.
Hitman is one. It's been released episodically.
Hang on, Final Fantasy VII, the remake, is going to be an episodic game.
Yeah.
Didn't you know that?
Oh, God.
Different gameplay styles in different episodes.
No. What that is basically big, giant Final Fantasy VII cow, and Square Enix are going, yay, let's milk it for all it's worth.
How are all of these remakes and something as possibly as brilliant as Final Fantasy XV coming from the same company? Don't understand.
It's a big company.
it's a big company, and you got to remember, where there's muck, there's gold.
Work experience kids are doing Final Fantasy VII.
I guess I can't disagree with that.
It's funny because it's true.
It is. Basically, right.
So you want it so much, you guys make it. You're new.
No. They don't even need to say that. All they need to do is say to the entire gaming community, okay, we need people to work on Final Fantasy VII for free. Who wants to do it? And how many fanboys would literally go, I can code, I can make a game, I'm going to work on Final Fantasy VII. Are you getting paid for it? No, but I don't care because I'm such a fan of Final Fantasy VII.
They could probably... don't give them ideas.
But segueing away from RPGs, because we have to, frankly.
Yeah.
Just press X to RPG.
What's this glowing thing on her throat?
Just leave it be, you're confusing me. But Republic, it's from NIS America again.
Oh, bit of an NIS fest.
And they have made the leap into episodic gaming. My point was, though, it's a story about... It's a very uncharacteristic game for NIS America, let's be fair. You picture NIS America, and it's to quote Lewis, it's a bit of a weeb fest.
Basically. I've not heard of a game of theirs that isn't an anime game.
He's not paraphrasing there, Lewis.
This is it. This is the one game that they've done in years that's not been like an anime title. But it stars in sort of a futuristic world, but also quite contemporary in a isolated state of incredible internet observation by the state. Yeah. Government surveillance, internet age, that sort of thing.
So it's a Big Brother type society.
Kinda. You play... Wait, I don't know what you play, really. You could make arguments for two separate characters. But you are Hope on the face of it. Hope is a young girl. She's been implicated in a case recently how this one man was disseminating anti-establishment sentiments. He was against the system, basically. He was killed and she's found with a book of his. So she's arrested. And I said you control Hope. You also don't at the same time. You also control cameras.
Okay.
Via basically a mobile phone system. And it's kind of weird. I mean, it harkens back to stealth gaming. It's changed. It's changed quite a lot when you think about what it used to be. I mean, you used to have a cardboard box and that was enough. And now you're a mobile phone and you operate in the way that you flip around between the cameras to get different angles on the level. And you guide Hope through that level. But Hope, it's also, what was the game, the Japanese survival horror, which you couldn't beat people, you just had to hide?
Haunting Ground.
Yeah, it has that sort of vibe to it. Although it's a stealth game, it's a sort of cyberpunk stealth game rather than an outright horror. But you have literally no power, basically. You control the phone, obviously, and you can, you know, sabotage things technologically through the phone, but each bit takes up a bit of the energy of your phone, so you can only do things so long. When that's gone, all you can do is flip between cameras. But yeah, all you can really do to defend yourself is use pepper spray, but that doesn't protect. It just kind of stops the guy, and he's there like a minute or two, just rubbing his eyes. So you still have to make your way from one zone to the next zone to the next zone, you know, by using the cameras and manipulating them in a certain way and hiding your character. She even hides in lockers.
In lockers.
She hides in lockers. And she has a reference there to Solid Snake, who actually appears. David Hayter is one of the voices.
All right.
In this. Odd game. It's both retro and futuristic at the same time. And the one thing I just generally don't like, it's becoming a bit more common these days. It has puzzles which are stupid hard. It just says, here's a room. Somebody's coming to get you. Solve this puzzle. What am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. One of them has six images, which you can, if you press like a button on the image, it'll change it to another image and they'll both say something. And you, from this image of like an industrialist or like a high school teacher or something like that, you got to figure out a solution when you don't know the question. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds very Resident Evil, sat a old school puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, here's a puzzle. I'm not telling you what it is or how to do it.
Like, does it have like a specific condition for like clearing it? Or is it just like, here's a room?
Here's a room. Here's six photos. Each photo flips between two different versions. Solve it.
See, I quite like those kind of puzzles.
I know, but the worst thing is, if that was like completely... Witness is a game that's out recently. Got a lot of applaudits for having puzzles, which you don't know how to do them. Here you go, do them.
You learn them in your own time.
Yeah. But in this case, as this incident happens, this puzzle happens, there's a character who you escape from, and she's realised you escape, and she knows where you are now, and she's coming down to get you.
So you've got a time limit as well.
You've got a time limit, and you don't know what you're doing or why you're doing it. And that's fine. There's a particular person who would like that game. I imagine Rob would like that.
Yeah.
But personally, when it's a puzzle, I'm not a big puzzle gamer. Puzzle games aren't as popular as they used to be, not by a long shot.
Tell that to Professor Layton.
That's a different market, though. Console market and handheld market are very, very different in what people play. But yeah, in the console, there's like The Witness, the Jonathan Braid stuff. That's his name, isn't it, yeah?
Jonathan Blow.
He did Braid, yeah. Yeah, I'm just mixing it up. But otherwise, there's not really a lot there. If you play a lot of the same type of games, you develop a layer, ability to cope with it, and you can, you know, work through it. You know, I mean, if you play a lot of RPGs and you can work through some of the nuances of RPG, what they offer, whereas if somebody's coming at it fresh, you're like, I don't know what this is, what am I doing? It's nonsense. And I think that's the problem with that sort of puzzling mechanic. If there was more puzzle games, I would be able to crack through this in no time, but because puzzle games are so rare, it's like, what is this? what am I doing?
This is unrelated.
Yeah, I understand that.
Seems like it sort of like has an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
I understand where you're coming from, because occasionally I'm playing some type of game that will suddenly throw a puzzle at you and it's like, whoa, where did this come from? What do I do? And I think, like, yeah, when you're doing that, as you said, because there isn't that many puzzle games out, you need to have a bit of self-awareness about it. In the case of Danganronpa, it lets you skip it. And in the case of another episode, it makes them easier, because there was a puzzle with pictures, but you know that the answer is a number.
Yeah.
Even though none of the clues are numbers, so at least that sort of simplifies things a bit.
It's a game for review, and I always play games for review on easy, because I want to get as far through it as possible rather than just be challenged. And even so, it's still, I don't know what this is.
See, the thing is, I don't regard this as an oddity, because I played loads of games like this on the PS2.
Yeah, that's PS2, though. PS1. How long ago was that?
This is more of a throwback to...
Oh, yeah, it's a throwback, because the stealth is very throwback as well.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It sounds like more of a throwback than an oddity. I think it's an oddity in today's you know, if you put it against today's games. But in terms of, you know, just video games in general, this sounds like my type of game.
It will catch the average gamer off guard, I think.
It can't be off guard. It has interesting mechanics. I mean, it has... It trades off the information age stuff quite a lot, because you can like.
How does it stand up against, say, Watch Dogs in terms of the information age stuff?
It gets it more on key, because Watch Dogs was kind of like, you can use this phone to, I don't know, turn all the lights off.
Destroy everyone's lives.
You can use this phone to hack. You're just walking past random people on the street, steal his money. Why? I don't know. He's there.
It looks very like sort of like a Neo Paris very much reminds me of like Remember Me.
Yeah, it has that vibe to it. But it's an interesting world. I mean, it has the interesting economy because you happen past computers, and if you hack that computer of a certain level, I can't remember the name of the thing, but you have like different levels of software. Like you start off with 0.5, you got to go up to a certain point, you get to upgrade to 1.0. Yeah, it's like a firmware update for your phone so you can access more things. And as you go through the level like that, it opens up new things in sort of the Castlevania way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can happen across computers and you can hack the computer, get information from it, and sell it to an information trader, which often opens up new ways to play the game, like new updates to your phone. Like you can hack phones, you can distract guards.
See, that's pretty good.
So does it take place in the real world then?
No. It's like a made-up
city. Oh, so it is inside a virtual thing.
Problem is, it needs a bit more variation in the gameplay, because stealth is fine, but there's a certain bit where it says, right, you got to update your phone, you got to go to the other side of the dorms, and you're like, oh, okay, that's not far. But it's like 7 rooms.
Can't you just connect it to the Wi-Fi?
No. It's like 7 rooms, and each room is, it's not like Metal Gear Solid where you can run. And you can, defend yourself. You are a defenseless girl, and you've got to sneak your way from one side to the next. And that 7 rooms feels like 40 minutes. And that's just, like, one bit.
Okay.
So it does string itself a long way. But, the episodic thing doesn't really add anything, I'll be honest. Because it's very story-driven. One of the characters who helps you talks to you via text language. Which, like, you text it and it says it in a robotic voice.
Is that one of the puzzles that you have to sort out?
No, unfortunately not. But yeah, there's a market for it. Yeah, obviously, because Rob's attached himself to it quite, he's identified with it.
See, it sounds like my type of game. I mean, I absolutely loved Haunting Ground when I first played that, and this sounds like, cyberpunk Haunting Ground. I'm sold.
I'd definitely give this one a go.
But it's not me. It's not for me.
This is because I'm somebody that leveled in. A great example is Silent Hill 3.
Yeah.
If you put it on easy, because you had a riddle difficulty and...
there was that one with the video easy, cassettes or something, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Was that it?
The
Shakespeare. There's a Shakespeare puzzle.
Shakespeare one.
Yeah.
If you're on easy, you just have to put them in the order of the volumes. Yeah. But if you put it on, is it hard or...
You've got to know Shakespeare. Yeah.
You've got to literally know Shakespeare and put them in. And I'm thinking, I'm in a horror game here and I have to revise Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But that's really good.
It's like industrialism sort of... you've got to know your industrialism.
One of the things I will say about Republic, Gung Ho Online Entertainment are involved in this one.
Yeah.
And they're also involved in, was it Suda51's Let It Die?
Yeah,
but that's not the thing that they're most well known for. Do you know what video game franchise they're most well known for? Gung Ho Online Entertainment are most well known for Puzzles and Dragons.
Oh, really?
Yep, they're the ones who make Puzzles.
Yeah,
and
that makes
massive
sense.
Massive in Japan.
It's getting huge over here as well.
Because
they've just done in Puzzles and Dragons.
It's an iOS game. Yeah,
it's an iOS game, but I think it's an Android.
It's
game.
It's on 3DS.
It's not an Android. Right. No.
They've just finished with the Bleach collaboration, and I got a load of Bleach characters as my monsters as well. And now they're doing a Batman-Superman collaboration.
Oh, dear.
I've got Lex Luthor as a monster, and I've got Doomsday as a monster. I'm trying to get Batman and Superman.
That's not canon.
But yeah, that's...
That isn't canon.
No, it's not canon.
That's Republic. Republic is...
Having them on the same team, fighting together.
Republic's available. It's out there.
Yes.
If that sounds like your sort of thing, and... Two people around this table said, yeah.
It sounds exactly like my sort of thing.
It sounds unique. I approve of that, at least.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's
like the stealth mechanics could do with a bit more depth added to them.
Yeah, it's not very in-depth, but again, it's a throwback.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Haunting Ground didn't really have the best stealth mechanics. I mean, hiding behind a door.
Well, basically, the stealth mechanics
that is actually a good idea.
The stealth mechanics in Republic are stand, crouch, hide in the locker.
An episodic.
Sounds like Corpse Party.
A pure episodic puzzle game.
Yeah.
That would be a really cool idea for some people.
Bring Press X back a little bit more regularly, but it's not going to be a weekly show by any stretch. Yeah. But yes, do look on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk. We are running a GoFundMe campaign. We'll be updating it with the things that we have. Shopping lists, this little bit, so you can feel engaged with the whole campaign, of making the Geek Show go from regular awesome podcast to snore. I was going to make a Super Saiyan reference there, but I won't do that. Instead, I'll say even better awesome, which is bad grammar, but I'm going to stick with it because it's not a Dragon Ball reference. Into one of those podcast networks. Words?
Okay,
safe. Am I still doing words?
Safe.
Yes.
I think I'll tag out now. I'm ahead. I'll tag out. Rob?
Yes. The Geek Show is available on Mixcloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and this will be on the Geek Show, the Geek Show's feed on iTunes. So look out for it. We'll have another Press X at some point when we feel like it, and I think that's just generally the way we're going with it. At the end of the day, we all play games, and we spend so much time playing games, and we've got too much time to do other things.
Games
and
suck.
So let's just, let's just all chill, and there's no need to rush with getting all of this, game stuff.
Have a nice
done.
High, a smooth high.
Yeah.
Put a nice pair of slippers. Listen to some Led Zepp.
No, nice pair of slippers. Get me smoking jacket and me pipe.
Listen to some Slow Ride. Take it easy.
Yeah.
And we're done.
Yeah.
We're out of here.
We'll see y'all later.